Det är VM-vecka, det är fullt Stanley Cup-slutspel. Det är så himla härligt med ishockey den här tiden på året när solen skiner. Vi har mycket att prata om här idag i Godmorgon NHL där Erik Granqvist är med oss och jag gissar att du är taggad inför världsmästerskap.
Ja, verkligen. Alltså det är bara några dagar kvar tills pucken släpps. Det är ju en sån premiärfredag som saknar motstycke. Många häftiga matcher med Sverige-Kanada som huvudnumret.
Ja, och truppen ska ju komma här under dagen så vi väntar på spänning. Vi hinner få med den i dagens program, jag tror att vi ska göra det, men vi ska inte lova någonting.
Nej.
We're also going to switch over now to English because we have a very special guest with almost 5 decades in hockey, coaching, working in management, scouting and broadcasting. Pierre McGuire, welcome.
Jonathan, good to see you. Eric, nice to see you. I wish I could speak your language. It's so beautiful and I've been coming here for so many years. I understand a few things like how to order a beer, how to say taksameni, but there are a few things I'd like to learn a little bit more.
Well, it seems like I got important stuff figured out, right?
Yeah.
So you mentioned been coming here for...
Since the mid-80s.
Mid-80s. You're working for Elite Prospects these days. Tell us about your background coming to Sweden, but also what you're doing these days.
Well, for the longest time, I was a college coach in the United States after my playing career ended, and I came over here and tried to build a pipeline to get Swedish-born players to come play college hockey in the United States. It wasn't that easy back then because the club system was so good, in Sweden in particular. And then when I became an NHL person, I started coming here a lot because there were some real good players here back in the day. And some of my earliest trips were here to see Peter Forsberg play in Örnsköldsvik or to see Marcus Naslund play in Örnsköldsvik. And then later on, you go into Frölunder, you go into Djurgården, you go to Leksand, or you go to Mora, or you go to Malmö, all these different places to see players. So I've been coming here for a long time, and obviously felt so privileged to coach a lot of Swedish players over the course of my coaching career in the NHL with Ulfie Samuelsson and Jill Samuelsson and Michael Nylander. I mean, I can go down the line. Daniel Alfredsson. I had a lot of pretty good Swedish players.
Congrats to the double Stanley Cup. I was a Pittsburgh fan in the beginning of the 90s, and you were assistant coach there to Stan Bowman.
Yeah, with Scotty.
I have Stan on my mind since I've been talking about the goalies in Edmonton. Yeah, Scotty, yeah,
no,
of
but
course.
You're right. About they got to fix the goalie problem by the way. They got to fix the defense, too.
Yeah.
Mattias Ekholm, by the way, had a tremendous year, speaking of Swedish-born players. But he's like the only guy in their defense you could say, man, he kept getting better. I know everybody says Evan Bouchard this, Evan Bouchard that. Evan Bouchard's got to learn how to play defense. I know offensively he's really good. But, yeah, those two cup years in 91 and 92 were really special. Obviously, we had an unbelievable team and Mario Lemieux and Jaromir Jagr.
Tom Barrasso.
And Kevin Stevens. You know, Jonathan and I were just talking about Kevin and Ulfie and Kjell Samuelsson. I can go down the line. Larry Murphy. Joey Mullen. If you look at all the Hall of Fame players, Brian Trotsky, like we had so many. You couldn't do that team today because it couldn't fit in the salary cap.
When you think about it, our team
was just so good. Yeah, we were really good. No. And our coach was really good too, Scotty Bowman. Yeah. And before that, Bob Johnson. We were very fortunate.
You must have learned so much on this journey. That's why I like you so much is good by Elite Prospects to hook you up because you've done almost all the different aspects of hockey, all the perspectives. That's an advantage, I think.
I'm so blessed. You know, when I got let go by the New Jersey Devils as a player, I got sent to the minors. They didn't want to go because back then it was more of this than it was this, if you know what I mean. Yeah. And I just got tired of doing that. And I started coaching college hockey, and it just became a passion of mine. And then learning about players and systems and working in hockey camps. And then to work for Craig Patrick in Pittsburgh and Bob Johnson and Scotty Bowman. It was just amazing, Eric. I got to tell you, learned so much. And Bob Johnson, I'll never forget this, at the 1990 draft in Vancouver. We're sitting there. It's in the big football stadium. There are 50,000 people there in Vancouver. And he says to me, here's my only tip to you. And I was young. I was 28, I think, 28 or 29. He says, learn something new every day in hockey. Learn something new. And for all that time, here we are 36 years later, all that time, I've tried to learn something
great advice.
Every day.
See if you can learn something from Jonathan today.
Well, I've learned something from you, Eric, already.
I'll see if I can bring something.
I didn't know Jonathan lives in California. Now I do.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Well, it reminds me of this now with the weather now. Not so much in the summer or in the winter. We're going to go down memory lane even more so later in the show, but we had games this weekend and we got to check out what happened. And let's start with Colorado and Minnesota. Jesper Wallstad back in the net. And that was a good move for Minnesota, Eric.
Yeah, amazing goals. Quinn Hughes and Kaprizov and all these offensive geniuses in Minnesota. But Wallstedt, he had 5 days off since it was a long break between game two and this game. And what happens is he could really reset the body and the mind. And when Wallstedt is on his game, he saves 35 shots this game and was back in the five-star rating again as a goal, and this Quinn Hughes shot in overtime is it's so good. It was not overtime, maybe. It was...
But he put in a good effort there at the end. We can look at him fighting an offer, and he was pretty tired. But
this is a great shot, by the way, at the end of the game. Yeah. You just love the way... Watch Jesper Wallstedt at the end. I just love this, the dramatics. And it reminded me a little bit of Marc-Andre Fleury in Game 7 in... what was it?
Against
2008
Lidstrom.
Against Nicky Lidstrom and Joe Louis Arena. Ooh. I'm watching that, and that's what I'm thinking about. I'm saying, this is Marc-Andre Fleury all over again.
Yeah. And it's 4-1. And so
look,
he can't
look at the windmill. He's so tired. Oh, yeah. I have to rest. It's over. But that's what I love with Wallstedt. He competes so hard.
Yeah. So I have to be transparent with you guys. My son is a professional hockey player, and he's been part of the Minnesota Wild organization. And so he's been in a lot of development camps with Jesper Wallstedt. And he says, Dad, one of the most competitive guys you'll ever see. He's so competitive. Yeah. So that speaks to your point, Eric.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what I'm curious about, your take on that, Pierre. Jesper Wallstedt, here in Sweden, he's seen as the next one. Yeah. I don't want to compare him with Hank already, in terms of Henrik Lundqvist, but maybe the next star, at least. Do you see that potential in him?
I do, and I also had, just so I, again, to be transparent, I had Filip Gustavsson in Ottawa when I was there, and he played mostly with our American League team in Belleville, but I spent a lot of days with him and Erik Brännström, believe it or not, just dropping some Swedish names for you guys.
Brännström is going to play the World Championship, hopefully.
Yeah, I hope so. I saw him down in Ängelholm the other day, and he looked fantastic. Mm-hmm. Love those two kids, by the way. They're fantastic people, great people. So I don't know what the plan is in Minnesota long term, but I got to think Jesper's a big part of the plan. And it's a different style than Henrik. You know, Henrik was more on the goal line, and Henrik was really athletic and flexible and aware, and his brain was insane. Mm-hmm. You watch Jesper play, he's a lot bigger. He moves around a little bit more. Yeah. It's just a different style, but he's really good. And I love what you said, Eric. He's such a competitive kid.
I met him the first time very short in a goalie camp I had up in the north, and it was like a black belt in goalie technique.
Yeah,
he
right.
was so talented. And now he learned the hard way in the minors, sports psychology, and these kind of things. And now the puzzle is connected. So the only Swedish goalie drafted in the first round ever. And I think he is a tremendous shooter. Like for Tre Kronor, hopefully if they go out here, they can bring him to the World Championship. And the next Olympics and World Cup, he's going to be the starter.
Such a good point, and it's absolutely true, by the way. I love what you just said. It's amazing. You think about all the great Swedish goalies we've had over time, and he's the first one that ever went in the first round. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah. And he can be the first one to lift the cup, too, because no Swedish goalie.
You didn't have to do that, right? Because Hank's going to see this. He's going to think that I put you up to this.
Love to, Hank.
Let's head out west. We have the Golden Knights playing Anaheim, and that series is all tied up after a 4-3 Ducks win. And this is a series where young Ducks team here is surprising a lot of people, I'd say.
You know, Jonathan, the biggest thing that I think happened for the Ducks last summer, everybody talks about free agent players. They signed the best free agent of all, Joel Quenneville. They got the best coach available for an NHL situation. And if you talk to all the players in that team or you watch their team play, it's a completely different situation than it was over the previous 5 to 10 years in Anaheim. Last time they made the playoffs was 2017.
Yeah.
So it's changed a lot. Joel's helped change that. But one of the things, again, and I know we're on TV in Sweden, but it doesn't matter. We talk about star players like Jesper Wallstedt. Leo Carlson is a superstar player. He's not a little bit good. He's really good. And I got to tell you guys a good story. Last year when Joel was going through the search process, we were talking on the phone. And I said, and he had other job offers. I said, I'm telling you one thing. I take Anaheim. And he goes, why? I said, they got this kid, Leo Carlson. And I'm telling you right now, he's Jonathan Taves. And I know how much Joel loves Jonathan. Mm-hmm. But he's Jonathan Taves with way more offense. And he goes, are you sure? I said, I'm freaking telling you. He's got way more offense. And now you watch him play, and he's just unbelievable. But the other guy there is Cutter Gauthier.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much Swedish people know this. But Cutter Gauthier's father.
Yeah, goalie.
Played, yeah, and he played in Skellefteå and Leksand. Yeah. But Cutter was born in Skellefteå. Oh,
yeah.
I mean, he should be on your national team.
That would have been helpful. We could need a scorer like
his
that.
Shot, yeah.
He's an amazing shooter, and he's a really good player. He's a really talented kid.
Yeah.
But Pierre, let me ask you about touching on Leo there. I mean, we all see the upside.
Yep.
A potential top 10 center in the league.
Better, top five.
Do
I
you
think,
see? Yeah. That's my question. Like, if top five. Top three? Like, how?
Where I think he can be in the top three in the league. Like, you know, you got McKinnon, you got McDavid. Obviously, Sid's still good. Nobody talks enough about Sidney and how good
he is. We do a lot to him.
You know what? I'll drop another name, too, and I hope he's watching because he knows what I think of him. Like, Nicky Backstrom had to retire early. I don't think people realize how good Nicholas Backstrom was in every facet of the game.
Yeah.
You know, I know he's Yavla kid and all that stuff, but, like, Ovechkin's got more goals than anybody else in the history of the NHL. And I'm going to bet that over half those goals, maybe more than half, Nicky had
was
a primary
involved,
assist, was involved. And I remember when Nicky broke in the league and it Fedorov, Backstrom, and Ovechkin was a line. Can you imagine? That was a line when those two guys were like, and Washington was no good, but they were good.
Yeah.
Those guys were good, but the team was no good. So, like, you asked me about Leo. Like, so I think Nicky Backstrom's an amazing player. I think Leo's ahead of him. And to say that, it's hard for me, but I have to tell the truth. And I just think this kid's going to be an amazing player. Like, you guys had Kopitar and Sorter Dahlia here, right? Way back when?
Yeah.
See, I'm showing you some Swedish history.
Yeah, exactly.
I think Leo Carlson's going to be a better player than him. And that's hard to say because...
Than Kopitar?
I do.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, that's big words.
That's what I'm telling
you. And I said the other week, he's a little bit... Henrik Zetterberg and Peter Forsberg.
Very good.
And if you say Jonathan Toews with his pedigree, playing the right way, smart, and then a little bit Peter Forsberg, super skills offensively, this smooth hand massaging the puck. It's he's going to be a superstar for sure, and the most important player for Kroner in the future
as
a first center.
You know what's amazing? The smartest thing, and Pat Verbeek played on our teams in Hartford when I coached there, and he's a general manager in Anaheim. They did something that was so smart, and more teams need to do this, especially with young 18-year-olds and 19-year-olds, because most of them can't play in the NHL. They did this work management situation so that some days he played, some days he didn't even go to the rink.
Go to the gym or
work out. Yeah, so he didn't get broken down. He didn't lose his confidence. Look at some of the plays he makes with the puck.
Yeah.
If he had no confidence, he'd never be doing it. Like, he's a big man, too. He's almost as big as Jonathan. You know what I mean? Like, he's a big dude.
Yeah, yeah.
He's definitely small around the midsection. I'll tell you that.
But all I'm saying is, like, that player is so special. And the problem in the NHL, anyways, like, you guys can see the game at any time. But in the NHL, if you're not on the East Coast, chances are you're not watching Anaheim, you're not watching LA, you're not watching San Jose, you're not watching Vegas, you're not watching Vancouver. You're just not. You're not watching those scenes because they're in the Pacific time zone.
Yeah.
And you got to go to work the next day.
Speaking of the East Coast, brings us to the last series that is still alive in this round. It is Montreal playing Buffalo. Montreal with a big win tonight, even though Rasmus Dahlin put up an assist early, first minute to Tage Thompson, and then later had a goal too. And obviously Rasmus, arguably the best Swedish player right now. Rickards, do you think they'll be able to pull through here against Montreal?
I think it's going to be a big ask for Buffalo to pull through, and that has nothing to do with Rossman. That's, you know, what a play
Laying
Hudson over to Cole Caulfield. I'm watching that last night because I had to do the post-game show for the Montreal Canadiens from my apartment here in Stockholm, which is really cool, by the way, to do a NHL post-game show at like 4 in the morning. And, you watch the game, and you're like, wow, this is amazing. Technology is so good.
Yeah.
But Rasmus has had an amazing year, and you think about all the stuff that surrounded him with his wife and all the different things. It's amazing what he's been able to do. I don't think Buffalo will be able to do this. I hope I'm wrong, but I just think Montreal's got too much, and their big line really hasn't started going yet. Suzuki hasn't been great. Caulfield hasn't been great. Slafkovský's starting to get better. That line's phenomenal to watch. They're one of the top five lines in the NHL. They're really good. I don't know if Buffalo has enough firepower to get past them.
If we take a look at the entire playoffs as of right now, obviously we have Carolina pulling through, another sweep for the Hurricanes, and then, as we mentioned, 2-1 to Montreal playing Buffalo, 2-1 Colorado, Minnesota, and then all tied up Vegas, Anaheim. And Carolina, Pierre, is this the year?
I don't think so. That team in Colorado, I think, is going to cause some problems for everybody. The biggest thing about Carolina, and I got to give Rod Brind'Amour and Jeff Daniels and Tim Gleason, that's the coaching staff, they're a lot of credit. They've got players like Jalen Chatfield. Most of your fans wouldn't even know who that is. So improved. All their defensemen, all of them. Shane Gostisbehere, you look at him. Jacob Slavin, and you look at all their defense. Every one of them got better. So that's on Timmy Gleason. Watch their penalty kill. It's phenomenal. Yeah. It reminds me of when Brenda Moore played. You watch their power play and their entries on their power play. They're the best in the league. It's unbelievable. And then to think that they're winning, and I mean this sincerely, with a second line of Logan Stankoven, and you see Jackson Blake, and then you see Taylor Hall, and you're like, nobody even knew who those guys were before the season started. Oh. And they're dominating all these playoff games. It's amazing to watch.
So 8 in a row hasn't happened since 85. This is historical. 8 in a row in the start of the playoffs. And like you said, the top line hasn't almost scored. So they have this, you know, in the pocket for the conference final and hopefully for the final. And the big Dane in the net, Fredrik Andersen.
Never seen him. Eric, sorry to cut you up. This is the best I've seen him play since he was in Anaheim. Like, he was okay in Toronto. He was okay, but he wasn't great. He was okay in Anaheim, but at the beginning he was really good. But they always ran into L.A. They ran into Chicago. They ran into all these really good teams. But now I've never seen Freddie play better. I've never seen him play better.
Let's say, Jonathan, let's say, Freddie said in an interview, now I'm not worried about being perfect anymore. I just want to stop the puck. And that's cool. Important for young goalies too. It doesn't have to be perfect. Just play the game and stop the next puck.
What a good statement. I love that.
Yeah.
You must have coached or played.
You would assume, right? Speaking of guys who've coached a lot, let's take a listen to Linda Ruff after tonight.
We have to be smarter. You know, we took 5 ozone penalties. You know, our discipline for that wasn't good enough. You let them operate 5-on-4, and you know, we ended up with a broken stick, penalty killing goal against, and you give them that much time, they're going to get opportunities.
Lindy Tate said you guys just became too emotional. Even keel has been a strength of yours, but did you see your group get too emotional tonight, I guess?
We've made some uncharacteristic decisions with the puck that we haven't made, you know, even through the 6 games with Boston. You know, you look at the one goal, easy play in the neutral zone. Should be an easy pass to Krebs. We miss the player by a big amount. They go the other way, and it's in the back of our net. Our puck play, I've talked about that the first couple games. Our puck play still isn't to a level that I'd like it.
Linda Ruff hoping to turn that series around and win that Stanley Cup that's been so far-fetched for him in Buffalo. Let's shift focus now to the World Championships and look at two rosters, given that you appear here, and you're a dual citizen of Canada and the U.S., so we're going to look at both rosters. And let's start talking about the Canadian team, because this, Pierre, it's a good team.
It is a good team. They're going to get a lot of offense from the defense. Evan Bouchard, obviously. Sam Dickinson's a young player out of San Jose, really good. Denton Mateychuk's a real good offensive player out of Columbus. I think everybody knows who Morgan Riley is with the Toronto Maple Leafs. The most underappreciated player on that roster is Parker Wotherspoon. Yeah. He had a phenomenal year playing with Eric Carlson in Pittsburgh this year, just a tremendous year. So I expect he's going to be one of the under-the-radar guys. Up front, they got serious firepower starting with Macklin Celebrini. I mean, fellas, let's be honest here, okay?
The next Crosby.
He's Sidney Crosby with maybe a little bit more speed. You know, we talked about Leo Carlson having more offense than Jonathan Toews. I think this guy might have a little more speed than Sid.
And a better shot from the...
Now Sid's shot's a little better, and there's trade-offs. So Sid's backhand's better than anybody since Gordie Howe. But Macklin Celebrini, like, there's... Yeah, no, you're right about that, Eric. But the biggest thing with Canada's roster is they're fast, they're deep, they've got veteran experience, and they got guys who wanted to be here. Like, Scheifele's coming because he's still upset that he wasn't on the Olympic team. Jonathan Tavares, same thing. Didn't get on the Olympic. They want to come prove a point. The guy in that roster that maybe most of your fans don't know is Robert Thomas. He is vastly underrated. Stanley Cup champion in 2019 with St. Louis. He's the real deal. He's a special player.
And a huge Ludvig Åberg fan as well, Robert Thomas. Yeah. He told me this summer. He's,
really?
He's a golf guy and he loves Ludvig Åberg.
Really?
Swedish golfer, yeah. That's his favorite player.
He's pretty good. Yeah. I mean, he hits the ball long. I think he went to Texas Tech, didn't he? Did he go to Texas? So,
yeah. Eric would know. He's the golf guy.
I follow golf too, especially your Swedish golfer.
Greed for Åberg because we need him to win a major. It's been close. But
so, you know, the other day I had the honor of meeting a Swedish major champion, Henrik Stenson, at his golf course at Crown with down in Ängelholm.
It's beautiful.
Spectacular. I'm coming back to play there.
I join you because I love it.
Okay, we will play. Yeah. I'll carry your bag too.
We're going to hear from Eric because you have graded both teams, but let's take a look at the U.S. roster too before we get to that because this does not have as much star power as the Canadian team.
Oh, no, it does not. And this is kind of one of those where I wonder what USA Hockey was thinking because a lot of guys probably said, we're not going. Under the radar player there, though, is Matt Coronato of the Calgary Flames. Tremendous player at Harvard University. Lots of skill. James Higgins was a first-round pick of the Boston Bruins. I think people will like his two-way game. He's just not very big. Ryan Leonard, obviously playing in Washington, played at Boston College. Tremendous player. This is mostly a college team. Max Plant, whose father, Derek, played in the National Hockey League with Buffalo for a long time, just won the Hobie Baker, which is like winning, being the best player in any league. He was the best player in college hockey this year. Second-round pick of Detroit. And getting Matthew Tkachuk to go.
Yeah.
You're surprised?
I wonder why. Yeah, I'll be honest. I am surprised. But then again, to be fair, Matthew was hurt for most of this year. Yeah. I think he probably wants to play a little bit more, so I'm kind of happy for him on that.
Similar to maybe Sasha Barco playing for Finland?
I had a chance to visit with Sasha the other day down in Ängelholm, and he looked fantastic. Yeah. He was so happy to be back in the game. I know Swedes don't want to hear that about a Finn, but he's such a great ambassador for the sport, and he's such a darn good player. And when you meet him, like I've met him a ton of times in sport, you don't realize on the ice, you see him and he looks big, and then you meet him in person, you're like, holy moly, this guy's big. Like, I coached Mario Lemieux. You don't coach players like that, you maintain them, you know? Yeah. You make sure there's air in the tires, there's enough gas in the tank, and the windshield's clean. You don't really coach him, you maintain him. Barkov's big like Mario. Like, that's a big man. That's a very big person.
And he plays hockey the right way.
Oh, my gosh.
He's unreal.
Yeah, look, so good.
Florida, two championships in a row, 24-25. Yeah. And when he was out since the preseason,
no playoffs.
He's so important. Of course, Tkachuk was gone too. But you said, you asked me when we did a game the other month, do you think Barco would play if he's fresh? And you said, yeah, it's important. If he has the motivation, he will go. And I love to see him just against Sweden the other day. Sweden was really bad, but Barco was still this presence, dominating every aspect of the game.
To pick up on what Eric is saying, because that's interesting. I had talked to guys like Jagr in his later days, and even Sid mentioned it. Yeah. Like, when you get older, as you get older, you have to play. It's not enough to practice for 4 or 5 months. It's too long to be away from the game because you lose that fast twitch, not only the muscle fiber, but the mind. So for someone like Barkov to miss a full year without a game wouldn't have been ideal, no?
No, my gosh, it would have been terrible. I want to back both of you up because you're spot on. You both said the right thing. So in 2002, Canada had their training camp in Kelowna, British Columbia, and I was there with, you know, the team. And you know, they coming out of the 98 disaster for Canada where everybody in Canada thought hockey was collapsing. And Mario Lemieux was there at the training camp. And he pulled me aside. And I had coached him. Like I said, you don't really coach those players, you maintain them. And he said, you think I'm too old to do this, don't you? And I said, I don't. Why? Why would you say that? He goes, I see the way you're looking at me. Because I was kind of wondering whether he really wanted to play or not. To your point, because he had missed some time. And he ends up going there and dominating the Olympics. Like, he was so good. Yeah. One of the most beautiful goals ever, where he lets the puck go through his feet to Paul Kariya.
Yeah, that's
pure genius. And you're sitting there and you're going, like, nobody teaches that at hockey school. Yeah. You either know how to do that or you don't. That's a gift.
Yeah.
And it's to your point. Mario even felt at that time, maybe I hadn't played enough and I wasn't ready, but I saw how hard he worked to get ready to play, and he was a hugely important player. I think Barkov feels the same thing. I really do.
Let's take a look at the grades, Eric, for both teams.
Back to school. I can be a teacher. It's great. Okay.
Let's see if you're a
We have some stars.
Yeah.
Shall we start with the USA team to the right? The goal is only two. It's if you see, it's not... If I say five-star, that's Hellebuck, Swayman, right, for example, in the Olympic gold team for USA. Yeah. But this is only two stars. The Ds, you said it good, Pierre, they have some good D, but it's 2.5-star for me. Yeah. And the forwards. When I saw that Matthew Tkachuk joined the team, I like James Hagans. I gave them 3. I was nice to them, I would say. Yep. But then you have the X factor, and that Matt Tkachuk, for me, he can change the game by himself, doing whatever it takes, start to scrum or anything. And then, for example, James Hagans with his brilliant hands can make things happen. So that's the 4. Yep. And then we have the team spirit. I would say, we often say the Swedes and Finns have 5 stars. I would agree.
Yeah. I would agree, yeah.
And for if the USA team can, the young team can come together and have fun with this veteran presence of Matthew Tkachuk, I give them a 4 to the start. Canadian team, much better. Mm. The goalies, I like Jet Greaves, the Blue Jackets goalies. I give them a 3. But then the Ds are better than the USA team, 3.5. You have this name, you say, Bouchard, Riley, and those guys. And then you at forwards, it's 4.5. It's a really good roster. Macklin, Celebrini, the youngster, and then Scheifele and all these veteran guys. And then the X factor, 5 for me with Celebrini and the other guys. And the team spirit, hopefully they come together. They want revenge. They didn't win. They were upset against Denmark last time in the quarterfinals in Avicii Arena, last World Championship. They didn't win the gold in the Olympics. So hopefully they are full of revenge for them, and then they can go to a 5 in the team spirit. But for now, it's 4. So 20 for Canada, 15.5 for USA.
Yeah. And my read, Pierre, would be that with a grade like this and looking at the rosters, Canada's probably going to be the favorite to win the gold medal, and the U.S. team is going to have to, if they make a semifinal, it's an okay effort with this roster. Is that a fair read?
Absolutely. And I love those markings, by the way. And I got to say, Jonathan, you look at Eric right there. He looks a little like one of my old players, Rick Tockett.
Oh!
One of my old players.
That's
there.
One of the most beautiful compliments.
Are you as tough as he was?
No.
No one is.
I come with love. and Tockett came with hard hits.
Oh, did he ever? Loved coaching Rick, by the way. Rick is a player you did coach. You didn't maintain him. You coached him. And I loved coaching him. He was a lot of fun to work with.
Pierre, speaking of your coaching career, we're actually going to talk about a guy you coach and listen to the other guy you coach, because the other day there was a presser over in Buffalo, and Pierre LeBrun, who's a veteran reporter working for TSN for however many years, asked Rasmus Dahlin about his edge and mentioned a couple names, including Alfie Samuelsson, and compared him to him. And I want to hear your take on that. But first, we're going to listen to Kevin Stevens, who also played for those cup-winning teams. Talked to Kevin this winter and asked him about his old friend, Ulf Samuelsson.
Yeah, Alfie was huge. You know, we weren't going to win any Stanley Cups without him. And the biggest thing about Alfie was that, you know, he's not going to make these pretty plays. He's not, you know, we all know what he is, you know, and he was any. But the best thing about Alfie, he hit the toughest. I mean, he hit the guys that no one else would hit. He hit Gretzky. He hit Neely, he had guys that everybody else kind of stayed away from, you know, but he took it in his mind. He took that challenge on that. He wanted to be a factor, you know, so he went after guys that most guys, you know, would kind of back off because they're protected and all this other stuff, you know, Messier, all the guys that, you know, you think you're going to give a little room to. Alfie gave him no room, you know, and he's one of those guys, like, you know, I remember playing against him when he was in Hartford, and I hated him, you know, so it was he's one of those guys, if you have him on your team, you know, you love him, if you don't, but he was a big factor in how we won our cups.
You're obviously from Boston, from the Boston area, and we know about the Cam Neely hit and on that rivalry, even back here, like, how heated was that for
yeah, that was heated. That was, I knew Cam well, too, so it was kind of like, because he was around Boston, I always came back here in the summer and stuff. So it wasn't, Alfie wasn't a topic of conversation, I can tell you that much, when we were around Boston in the summertime. But it was, that was as heated as it got, you know. It was, it's funny, because whenever Alfie ever lost his helmet, oh, man, all the guys wanted to jump on the ice to get a feast off. Whenever Alfie's helmet fell off, it was like, everybody wanted on the ice, you know, because he had that shield. And he would pull it down, and he played like a football player, you know. But once that thing come off, it was open season.
He lights up sweet memories.
We all do. Yeah. I got to tell you. So I got a couple good Alfie stories for you. That last part you saw us winning the cup in Chicago, we swept them 4-0. You know, everybody's talking about Carolina winning their first 8 games. Mm. We won 11 straight games to win the Stanley Cup. No team had done that before, and no team's done it since. 11 in a row to win the cup, and Alfie was a huge part of it. I coached the defense, and we were a really big matchup team. Scotty coached the forwards. I coached the defense. We never talked during the game, Scotty and I, and we're playing. I want to say it's in Boston, probably either game 3 or game 4 in the Eastern Conference Final. And I had Alfie on the ice in like the last 3 minutes, and we were winning big. And first time ever, Scotty comes down and kind of gives me an elbow in the ribs. And I'm like, what's up? And he goes, get him off. I go, what are you talking about? Get who off? He goes, get Samuelson off. I go, why? He's going to get mad at me. He says, because they're going to try to kill him. So I did. Anytime I did this, that meant for our defense to change on the fly. And so I did that. And Alfie came off the ice, and he was all mad at me. I said, no, it's for your own good. Trust me. And I told him afterwards. I couldn't say enough good things about him. I loved coaching him. I loved everything about him. He had such passion to play. His practice habits were impeccable. You know, for young players, you want to make the NHL, be like golf.
He was in good shape.
Oh, my gosh. The most intense physical guy, always in shape. You ride the bike after the game, go in the weight room, sit in the sauna, talk to guys, you know. He knew how to do it at the rink. He knew how to do it away from the rink. All his teammates trusted him. He is a real tough guy and a man. He was just a man.
But me and Kevin touched on that Cam Neely hit. And to give the context, because this is back in the day, and it's overseas in a different era without the internet and everything. But so Cam Neely was the biggest star in Boston at the time.
He was.
And Alfie had that. We saw that hit in the highlight package where he got his knee. And Cam was never the same. No. So that
it
was
ended
a bad
his thought. Career, yeah. basically. Yeah. It did. Yeah.
How do you remember that whole thing for people who don't know about it?
Oh, I remember it really well because I know both sides of it. And I felt bad. Alfie was in a tough spot. I think he wanted to get him chest to chest. Cam tried to make a move. Alfie's leg got his leg, and a big contusion on his thigh, and they never diagnosed it properly, and it became calcified, and it basically ended his career. I just remember we went back. We had to go back in that series to play, and they had to surround our hotel with guards because there were so many death threats. And Alfie thought it was funny. He was like, this is pretty cool. All these people are here for me. I'm like, no, this isn't that cool. But I think Alfie felt bad about it, too. Like, I've never talked to him about it, but just knowing him, he didn't want to end anybody's career. He wanted to play hard, and he wanted to be a good, hard competitor, but he didn't want to hurt anybody. And that was very unfortunate. That whole incident was really unfortunate.
Yeah. Speaking of Alf and Per LeBrun's comparison with Rasmus there, because Rasmus do play with an edge, and I think people might not realize because he's the highlights, and that's all the goals and all the dancing on the blue line, but there's an edge to him too.
Oh, I remember like early on in his career when Buffalo was bad, and they were bad. They were bad for a long time. That poor kid was targeted, and as an 18-year-old, when you're a defenseman on a bad team, that's tough, and he's a first overall pick, and people went after him, and I just remember a couple times watching him play against the Islanders. People weren't even watching those games. He pushed back. Like, he got angry.
Yeah, looking at the footage now, the last couple of years, we've seen him go at it with Matthews, Malkin, Hagel, these playoffs.
Well, he's learned a lot, I think, from Lindy.
Yeah.
I think Lindy Ruff has probably been one of the best things that's happened to Rasmus, honestly, and I haven't heard Rasmus say one thing or another.
In what way?
Because Lindy knows how to push guys to get to another level physically. He's really good at that. If I were to say one of his strengths as a coach, it's to make guys get out of their comfort zone and still be able to play with their skill level. Mm-hmm. He's really good at that, Lindy. And I don't know if he learned that from Scotty Bowman when he played for him in Buffalo. I don't know if he learned that working for Roger Neilson. He and Roger were very tight, and Roger was a really, really good hockey coach. He's passed on now a long time ago, but... Yeah, I like this part of Rasmus's game. I think it's really important. And again, I don't know if there are that many guys in the league that can do what he does athletically. He's an amazing athlete.
Yeah.
He's not just – so a lot of times guys are hockey players. This guy's an amazing athlete who happens to be a hockey player. Most guys that play in this league are just really good hockey players. This guy's an elite athlete that plays hockey. There's a big difference.
You could play any sport. Yeah,
any sport. Yep. Well, Daniel Alfredsson. Sorry to interrupt. Yeah. Alfie's that. Alfie's an amazing athlete who's a hockey player.
Yeah.
Speaking of athlete, that's actually a good transition to the next thing we're going to talk about. And Rasmus. So I did, this is just a list from the top of my head with top 10 retired Swedish NHL players that we're going to look at. And what I'm curious about, Pierre, is we have a lot of like good guys playing right now. If you look at this list now, I'm going to read it out for people listening to it. It's Lidström, Forsberg, Salming, Lundqvist, Sundin, Sedin times two, Alfredsson, Zetterberg, Backstrom. You could might argue that you'd want to have a Kent Nilsson or Marcus Naslund or someone like that in this top 10. We'll start with that.
There's one that's missing there that won a Stanley Cup in 1986 in Montreal.
Mats Naslund. Yeah.
So that would be the one, but this list is really good. So I get there's going to be debate between the forward and the defenseman in Forsberg and Lidström. I was there. We tried to draft Peter Forsberg when I was in Pittsburgh. Just an unbelievable player. Nicky, I can't, I mean, guys, I coach against him. He's everything. I mean, he's just, there's no better, I don't think. And at Boria, I didn't coach Boria. I never coached against him, but I watched him as a kid. And, you know, when you were a fan of Montreal, which I was because I lived there, you didn't cheer for anybody else, especially anybody from Toronto. But I used to go to the Forum to go watch Boria Salmi. I'd go watch Bobby Orr. You know, I'd go watch Gordie Howe. Those were the only guys from other teams that I liked. Yeah. I didn't like any of the other players, you know? So, yeah, Boria and Hank. I mean, I can't say enough about Hank. I don't think people realize, like, John Tortorella is still coaching the league. I'm convinced if Hank hadn't have been a New York Ranger for as long as he had been, I don't know where John's career would have gone. You know, John's career really exploded in a positive way after his time in New York. And I know, you know, he never got to the final. People forget it was Alain Vigneault that took the Rangers to the Stanley Cup final. It wasn't John Tortorella. Yeah. So, and Hank was a huge part of that. So Hank is, all that list is amazing. Yeah. So you got Lidström's a Hall of Famer, Forsberg's a Hall of Famer, Salming, Lundqvist, Matt, Hank, Daniel. The only one that's not in the Hall of Fame right now on that list are Zetterberg and Backstrom.
Exactly.
So, they're the only two that are in the Hall of Fame.
We'll see where it goes.
I'll tell you what, you never know. Probably, I can't say too much about that. I'm on the committee.
Ooh.
There are only 18 of us in the world that are on that committee, and we sign a sheet that says you can't talk about it. So I'm not going to say anything except to say...
then I say both of them will eventually be there.
Thanks,
he's
Eric.
Also secret like you. I can't tell you. Okay.
Thanks, Jonathan. I appreciate it.
I'm not on that committee. I'll make that clear. But I do vote on awards, so that I try to keep off the record until it's revealed. So the assignment I'm going to have for Pierre now, and I'm going to ask you, Eric, if I have the right names. It is... among active players who has a shot of making this list.
The guy to the left, Victor Hedman.
Yeah.
He looks like Hedman a little bit.
I said that to him before.
Yeah, I'm better looking. Awkward silence.
Okay. All your own school, the guys look the same.
Yeah, I was actually in Sportsnet back in the day, and they said that. And I was like, that's because we're such a small guys place. We're so inbred. Yeah. We look alike. Exactly. No.
What's the name of the pizza place in Olvik?
Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia.
See? There we go.
I still remember.
Exactly. So I'm going to give Pierre Erik Karlsson, Victor Hedman, Rasmus Dahlin, and Leo Carlson having a shot at making this list. And Eric, you can be, I'm not including Philip Forsberg, Wilhelm Nylander as a shot of making this list. You can tell me if I'm wrong. This is your shot. Ooh. And then we'll give the names to Pierre.
And this list is after they finish their careers.
So it's a projection. Obviously with Carlson and Hedman, we're closer to the end, so it's easier to project, but
Oh, wow. This is for you, Pierre.
But you know what? The list is amazing.
Yeah.
So one of the worst trades the Washington Capitals ever made is when they trade Philip Forsberg to Nashville.
Yeah.
Think about if they would have kept him, they might have won more cups.
Definitely.
I'm being serious. Yeah. So you got to measure that when you're measuring about a player's quality as a player. So Philip Forsberg is maybe one of the underrated ones. Victor Hedman's got to be on your list.
Yeah.
He has to be on your list. Like, I'm being totally frank. Leo Carlson will eventually be on that list.
I'm telling
you guys. Yeah. Unless he gets hurt, which please don't get hurt. You know what I mean? He's just I'm telling you guys, I'm going to give you the Joel Quenneville talk. Joel, I'm telling you, he's Jonathan Toews with more offense. Yeah. So I'm just telling you guys right now. Yeah.
Do you see Dahlin making this list as well?
I think eventually, if they ever broke through, which I think their team has a chance to, I do think he maybe sneaks on that list. The problem is the guy at the top is never coming off the list.
No.
And Salming's never coming off the list. So if you look at the defense, like, who's he going? You know what I mean? And Hedman's going to get on there. I think Hedman gets on there. So that's the problem.
Well,
for
I
Rasmus.
Think, like, if you look at take the Hall of Fame as the bar, Hedman's going to make the Hall of Fame. I would argue Erik Karlsson is a lock for the Hall of Fame, too.
Well, he was the last one. I haven't talked about Erik yet.
Please do.
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan. I like him a lot as a person, and I really like him a lot as a player. The thing that breaks my heart about Erik is I wish he never would have got hurt in the Matt Cook situation. Yeah. Because I saw, like, back in the day when you saw him come in the league, when he played with Hedman at the World Junior, it was the first time I kind of really spent a lot of time watching him. Like, oh, my gosh, this kid's going to be... He reminded me of Brian Leetch. Yeah. He did. And Brian Leetch, you know, Hall of Famer, great player. He reminded me a lot of Brian. Just Leetch, he was a lefty. He's a righty. And, you know, I saw that injury happen. I was like, he's not the same guy. He's still great. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. But it affected his career. It really did.
He said himself, now 80% is my new normal, he said.
So there you go. I did not know he said that, but I'm telling, like, I've been down there to do all the big games he's played in. I did the Olympics, especially in Sochi when he was trying to get going. Felt bad. I mean, I can't even imagine how good he would have been had that not have happened.
I remember I was there for the 2017 run with the Senators, and I talked to guys like Kenny Danico and Jason Smith, like longtime NHL defensemen and like old school defensemen.
Especially Dano, trust me. He was my partner in training camp. He was a tough guy.
And both of them, they had no problem comparing him at his peak, not his full body work, but at his peak to a Forsberg Lidström. It's like, this is as good as we've ever seen from a Swedish player at his peak. Would you buy that?
I would. And I'll tell you one thing. In his draft year, he was the fastest climber, because if you go look at the numbers before the draft, he was before the season even started, he was probably right in the middle of the second round. He ended up going 15th overall to Ottawa. Yeah. Like, that's a big jump in that draft year. And I just remember saying, because I was doing the draft at TSN then, talking to Gord Miller and Bob McKenzie, my partners at the time, just saying, like, this guy's upside is so huge. If he could ever figure out the defensive part of it. Yeah. And I'm going to just drop a name. I coached Paul Coffey. I'm not saying Erik was better than him, because Paul's numbers are crazy, but there were similarities. Paul was a lefty, but he liked to carry the puck. Erik was a righty, but he liked to carry the puck. So difference, but there were a lot of similarities too. That's all I'm going to say.
Barry, do you think I'm fair when we're talking about this list that I'm leaving names like Philip Forsberg, like William Nylander, like Mika Zibanejad, all like good forwards, but... Yeah. A notch below, maybe?
That's fair.
Yeah.
And that's not a knock on those guys.
No.
You showed they're all those guys are Hall of Fame player. Like, that's Mika's done that trade. That, by the way, you speak about bad trades. What a bad trade.
Ottawa Rangers.
What a great for Rangers, terrible for Ottawa. Yeah. I mean, Derek Brassard was a nice kid, but he's not Mika's advantage. No. Like, think about that trade. You're like, really? Who made that trade?
But hey, we had Christer Rockström the other show and talking how hard it is to project in the future, 5 years, 10 years ahead.
But of all the guys, you know, like Håkan Andersson, Christer Rockström, we're talking about elite evaluators of talent. Like, seriously, elite evaluators of talent. So they're really good at the amateur level evaluation, which is hard. That's way harder than evaluating pros. The hardest part about evaluating pros is evaluating the players they play with at the NHL and to see if they're trending up or if they're trending down. Like, some guys are really good players on bad teams because they can do whatever they want. Nobody's going to tell them. But then they get into a structured situation and all of a sudden they're no good. And people say, how did that happen?
Ah, then you have to spot that too. That's before you trade a guy.
Yeah, when you're doing the pro level and when you're drafting amateur players, it's not millions of dollars of mistakes. But when you're trading for NHL players now and you get the wrong guy, it's millions of dollars. Millions. Like, seriously.
For example, the Brassard and Zibanejad trade.
Would be a good example. So if Eugene Melnyk was the owner of the Ottawa Senators, and he's passed away now. But so all those years after that trade was made and they didn't make the playoffs, Think about it. Every year you don't make the playoffs, it's millions and millions and millions of dollars lost. Oof. It's like, I'm not going to tell you the team, but there's a really good team in the NHL. I know their general manager very well. And we were talking 2 years ago. And I said to him, I said, great, congratulations, your team made the playoffs. And they went a little bit further than most people thought. He goes, Pierre, I got called on the carpet today. I go, what happened? He goes, we had a budget meeting and we didn't make our budget. Like, we didn't make money this year. My owner's really mad. And he told me, this guy told me, he said, if we don't get past the second round, we break even. We break even. So can you imagine the teams that don't even make the playoffs?
It's crazy.
Wow.
It's millions and millions and millions of dollars. That's why you can't make mistakes when you're trading players at the NHL level.
Speaking of trades, and you mentioned the Forsberg trade, Sabanajad trade, I would still argue, and this is maybe...
Marcus Naslund?
Alex Stoyanov.
Oh, my gosh. So Alex Stoyanov was a good player. He played in the Ontario Hockey League. He was really tough. I was a college coach then watching him play before he went to the Ontario Hockey League. He would have been an amazing college player because he was tougher than almost any kid that played. He was really tough. But Pittsburgh got caught in a situation. I don't mind telling you guys. I went to Hartford after we won the second cup to work for Brian Burke. Scotty Bowman went to Detroit with Barry Smith, who used to coach in Djurgården.
Yeah.
He went to be Scotty's assistant in Detroit. So all the people that spoke on behalf of Marcus were no longer in the organization. So it became easy just to move him out. And Vancouver really wanted, Pat Quinn and their staff really wanted Marcus. And Pittsburgh really wanted toughness because it wanted to protect Mario and Jaromir Jagr. Mm. So that's how that deal went down. And you think about it now, that really could be considered one of the five worst trades in the history of the NHL. And it's because how many wingers, and you guys are really good hockey people, how many wingers actually drive a line? There's not a lot of them.
No.
So you look at Marcus in Vancouver, he's playing with Bertuzzi and playing with Morrison, Brendan Morrison. Like, good players.
But he was driving.
But my goodness gracious, they're not Marcus Naslund.
Well, like, that's what I always argue, that if you talk about Swedish players, you could argue that Marcus and Peter is the only guys that had ever been, like, maybe the front runner to being the best player in the world at a specific time. Nick Lidström is different because you don't bring in defense as much in that discussion. But with the Sedins, Zetterbergs, Backstroms, what have you, Marcus' absolute peak was still arguably the best player in the world.
He could have been right in that discussion. I'm not saying he was the best player, but you could have him in that discussion for sure. It's probably... In my career, of all the guys, you know, been heavily involved in drafting Jaromir Jagr, heavily involved in drafting Marcus. You know, there are a lot of... Christopher Pronger was a pretty good pick at number two. Pretty good.
Worked out pretty well.
So very fortunate to have been around drafting a lot of really good players with other people that have helped. Marcus was, of all of them, probably the one I was the most proud of because of where we got him. I think we got him at 16 or 17 in the draft, one pick behind Kovalev. And that was the 91 draft. That was Lindros's draft in Buffalo. And Marcus wasn't just a great player. Marcus is still an amazing man. Like, he's an amazing person. He really is. So I'm a big fan. It's hard for me to even digest that he didn't
at that time,
his career.
He didn't fit the norm of a hockey player, really.
That's absolutely right.
You know, and that's important. This list is a fantastic list. We go down the memory lane, but... Think about the legacy from all those players, like Lundqvist for the goaltending, Lidström for the D's, Forsberg and Sundin, and Salming for bringing hockey, the world's greatest sport, to young kids to want to be like Hank or Peter Forsberg or Salming. And then you start playing, and some live the dream in NHL. If you play one game in NHL, it's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
And these guys are... They are so unreal good. Sometimes we don't talk about how good these guys on this list are. Not just as players, but all the grind and all the stuff that comes into being a professional hockey player with the pressure and everything.
I couldn't agree more. You know, the other day I was in Ängelholm and I was talking to some of the guys like Michael Samuelsson. People don't realize how good a player Michael Samuelsson was.
Triple Gold Club.
Yeah, people don't know that. Like, they don't realize how good he is. People don't know how good a player Nicky Cronwall is. Yeah. You know, they don't know. Hank was amazing. Henry. So back in those days, I did so many Detroit games. And you do a Detroit game and you got Yzerman, Zetterberg, Datsyuk. Like, come on. And then you have Chris Draper. And then you have, you know, Darren McCarty. And then you have Maltby. And you're looking at it and you're going, like, how can this team ever lose? You know, how did they ever lose? And so, and Christa Rockstrom was part of that, putting all of those guys into place before he moved to the New York Rangers. Hawk and Anderson was a huge part of that. See, that's one thing I've talked to so many people. I think scouts don't get enough credit. The general manager gets credit for all these guys that get drafted. Most of those general managers never saw those players play until they played for their NHL team.
Yeah. They hired the right
guys. They hired the right guys, exactly right. And so I've always, and I've spent a lot of time here, obviously, as you guys know, and never had a bad trip with Christer, never had a bad trip with Hawken. I used to know an older scout out on the West Coast named Aya Johansson. Hmm. He worked for Washington Capitals. Yes. So, yeah, I had a lot of guys that really think the world of here.
We're going to leave the memory lane for now because I've been told in my ear now that we have the roster for the Swedish team.
Oh, good.
So we're going to take a look at it real soon. But the first news that is very exciting is that all five World Junior Champions that was in Ängelholm made a team.
Oh, wow.
So Ivar Stenberg, Viggo Björk, Jack Berglund, Anton Frondell, Love Herrenstam. Found roster, Eric. Look at that.
I love it. So are you going to go watch these guys? Because this is definitely a passing of the torch moment with all those young players.
Yeah, I said that even the wolf eyes starting to shimmer in Peter Forsberg's eyes when we did the press day the other Monday here. Mm. Because I remember in the beginning of the 90s when a young Lidström, Sundin, Forsberg came in as teenager to Tre Kronor. And now I call him the C crowns because it's the generation C, born 97 to 08, with all those guys you mentioned. So I'm so excited. And on Friday, they dropped the puck.
I can't wait. I'm pumped for it, too. I'm actually going down to Zurich for the last week of the tournament. I had dinner with Jack Berglund the other night. What a nice man. You don't realize how tall he is
A big boy.
When you're there. He's a big fella. So I was really impressed by him. He was really fun to talk to, so I got a lot of respect and time for him.
So I coach him in Färjestad. I work there as a mentor for the goalie coaches, so I meet Jack almost every day. And I said to him, you are one of the reasons I fell in love with hockey back in the days, because you compete and give everything on the ice, and outside you're a really warm person, caring for all the teammates and, you know, the kids that want autographs. So he's a role model ambassador for Swedish ice hockey, and they are so important. And the other guys you mentioned with Herrenstam and Björk and Frondell and Stenberg, they are the same. So it's so exciting to be a Swedish hockey lover now.
But if you look at these five guys in particular, I think it's fair to assume that Love is he's there to watch and learn.
Yeah.
Berglund is probably going to be extra forward, might not break into the lineup at the start of the tournament at least. But the other three, Viggo Björk, Ivar Stenberg, Anton Frondell, they're expected to contribute.
Chicago's expecting Frondell to contribute big. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah. And if you look at this tournament, because they produced at the Swedish level, in Frondell's case, even did well in the NHL, but this is a higher level than the SHL.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think it's fair to expect those three guys to be difference makers already?
No.
No.
I don't think it's fair. I would love to see it, but I don't think it's fair. This is a big jump up. This isn't the SHL. This isn't the American League. This is another level up. It's not as good as the Olympics. It's not as good as the Stanley Cup final, but it's still very difficult. And there's more pressure. There's more limelight. It's a bit of shock for me that the agents let those draft eligible kids go. Because it can affect your draft rate, how well you play or don't play. Like, if you go there and play really well, you probably...
Do you think that's why McKenna isn't here? Playing for Canada, or maybe he's not making that team because
I'm
going to
say McKenna after this year probably wouldn't have made this team.
Yeah.
Mm. So who, I'm on the opposite view than you. I think that those young guys, Björk, Stenberg, and Frondell, they will contribute.
Well, that's good if they do. Yeah, that's great.
Because they hopefully they would play with Raymond, some of the guys. And you know Raymond, how good he can be.
Oh, my gosh,
and,
is he a good player?
He's so good player, and he's a young guy. But he's excited, too, to get
this. He's an 02. He's an 02 birth
year. Yeah, 02. Yeah, yeah. And what I want to say is I like the... because I watched them since they were young kids, you know, in the Swedish hockey TV, you can see all the junior games, and they are they are humble outside, but when they're on the ice, they have this självklarhet.
Good. Confidence.
Yeah, the confidence.
Yeah, a little brash. They got a little swagger.
Yeah, right? Swagger. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they, hey, if I'm here, I want to contribute. And I think that's exactly what's going to happen. So I'm so pumped up and happy that the young guys.
I'm pumped they're there. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm really jacked up because I'm going to be there and watching. And I watched them the other day. It's like, I'll give you an example. For younger guys, if you're taking faceoffs against John Tavares and you're Bjork in particular, that's a whole other experience, man. I'm just telling you.
They're going to learn a lot.
They're going to learn a lot. Yeah. Like, you, Johnny's really good. Johnny T's really good on faceoffs. And so I'm not saying that's going to happen, but if you do, you better pay attention and learn from watching what these guys do.
And also for the coaching staff to put them in the right situations. And it's a lot to be excited about for Friday.
Yeah, but I want to ask you, Pierre, Eric touched on Lucas Raymond, because when I look at the Canadian team and I look at the Swedish team is always going to have good depth, you know, play structured. You have the young kids who can have a good game. You can't expect them to perform at that level maybe every game. So to me, Lucas Raymond has to be go head-to-head with a Macklin Celebrini or Robert Thomas or Mark Scheifele if Sweden is going to win this tournament. Do you think he has that in him?
I do think he has it in him. I love the way you posed the question too, Jonathan. Mm. So here's what I'll say. Henrik Zetterberg in 06, like just dropping a name, okay? Mm-hmm. Everybody looks at, you know, Sweden winning and all this stuff. Go ask the players, like, behind the scenes, who was the guy that did all the dirty work that had to get stuff done? Hank did all of that because that was his role in Detroit. So Raymond's role in Detroit now is a little bit different than what Hank's is. It's to go out and score. He's got to get as many points as possible because they're a team that doesn't score that easily. I don't know what his role will be here with this team, but he's going to
It's going to be the same. He's going to have to
score. That's what I think. Yeah. I think as well.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't do that, he can still help the team win. He's one of, like Hank, he's a player that if he doesn't score a lot, he can still help your team because he's such a smart player. But I agree with you. That's why I used his name. I think, Jonathan, he's got to be a guy that scores. And if he does, I think he does have it in him. He can make a difference. My biggest thing for them is if they get Jesper Wallstedt, and I don't know if he's coming or not. Like I want Minnesota to do well, obviously, but I don't know if they're good enough to beat Colorado. And if he does come, he will make a difference.
For sure. Then the goalie side, with a 3-star now, will jump up.
You have to jump 100%. Yeah. So
and hopefully. For Minnesota and Jesper, they have a long run and maybe winning the Stanley Cup, but Colorado is the favorite. And then just jump on the plane and come and be a hero in Tre Kronor, like Henrik Lundqvist and, for example, Pelle Lindberg and all those guys, Pekka Lindmark and Tommy Salo and all the old heroes.
That Lundqvist guy wasn't so bad.
No. In the Olympic finals, 06.
He was pretty good in 06. He was pretty good.
Let's take a look at the roster here. And, Pierre, if you look at it... It's going to be, as of now, Arvid Söderblom in net and a defense led by Ekman Larsson and Mathias Ekholm, two veterans.
Yep.
And at four, we talked about Lucas Raymond. And there's some good depth there with Emil Heinemann, Oscar Sundqvist.
Probably the most underrated player on that roster right now is Heinemann.
Yeah.
People don't realize he was a very good Montreal Canadian. They didn't really want to trade him, but they had a chance to get Noah Dobson. So they trade him, and he was a very good New York
I wanted
rounder.
Him in the Olympic team.
So there you go. Like he's a very underrated player in the National Hockey League. I've known, obviously, Jakob Silverberg forever from his time in Anaheim in particular. I think the biggest thing about that roster, as I look at it, they're going to be hard to score against because all those defensemen are solid defensively, and they've got really good role players. Like De La Rose is so good on faceoffs. I watch him all the time. He was a very good faceoff player. So they're going to be able to program their guys. They're going to have to win a lot of games like 2-1, 3-2.
Yeah.
That's the key, I think, to win. Do it the old Swedish style with a really solid defense and win 2-1 or 3-2 or 1-0 sometimes. And then have a good power play with Lucas Raymond as an architect. And I would say in net for now, it's Magnus Hellberg.
Wow.
Because I watched the games closely and Söderblom on the little bigger surface, he doesn't look familiar. So let's make them compete for that spot. And then Love Herrenstam, maybe don't put him in the roster and wait for Wallstedt. If he comes, then invite him. Otherwise, you can add Löwe too, who is a future great goalie in Tre Kronor. But for now, Hellberg looks much better. So I think they, as we speak now, he's the starting goalie.
And let's make that clear. It's a preliminary roster, so they're not all like on the official roster.
No.
So you can still, like you say, Eric, bring Löwe, but not sign into the game sheet and then still use it.
I love that point, by the way, Jonathan, that Eric made about Soderblom not looking comfortable on the big ice. That's
what we pay him for.
I was never a goalie, but I defer. Like, I worked with Joe Malosh for a long time. Mm-hmm. I had Sean Burke, who's one of the best goalie coaches in the world right now. And so I always fascinated to listen to them talk about the position. The Allaire brothers, you know, Benoit, just retired.
He retired. Thank you for an amazing career, all the inspiration. I met them a couple of times here in Sweden.
Okay, so cool. Yeah. So anyway, so like I always was fascinated going into meetings with those guys because I'd listen to them because I didn't play the position, you know, and I wanted to learn more about it. So what you just said, you remember I told you to learn something new every day? So the big ice thing about Soderblom versus Hellman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's pretty cool. That's a good point.
We're getting close to the end here, Pierre, but I want to ask you, we've looked at Canada and the U.S. in depth. We know Switzerland is going to have a good team at home. Fenlov has Barkov leading the way. Czechs are always good, so forth. If you look at this Swedish roster, from the top of your head, like, what's a reasonable expectation for this team, you think?
Bronze medal.
Bronze.
Yep. I think they can compete for the bronze. If they can play games that are 2-1, 3-2, maybe they can go higher. But, the Canadian roster is pretty good. And they're going to be, Canada's going to play angry. They're going to have a chip on their shoulder. World Junior hasn't been good.
No.
Olympics, even though they got a silver medal, you don't win a silver, you lose to get a silver. You win to get the bronze. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I think Canada's going to be really tough to beat. I don't like the American roster that much. I'm not going to lie to you. They'll have to win with youthful enthusiasm. I think what you said about the Czechs is pretty good. I think they're going to be a little bit better than what people think.
You know what?
Eric, bronze, higher or lower?
It has to be higher because the Swedish team, they won 2018. Magnus Hellberg was together with Anders Nilsson as goalie and Philip Gustafsson. Yeah, yeah. And De La Rose was in that roster too. Yeah. So they have that kind of experience. But since then, no finals since 2018.
So who do you think they're going to knock out to get to the final?
I don't care. Just fucking do it. Whatever it takes, you know.
That's such a good. I love it. Perfect answer. That's
Let's all the people sit in the sofa. Be like Niklas Holmgren that you met, the big voice. Shout because we need this kind of. Everybody has to be passionate. Do it together. And with this young youth players that can make a difference. Lucas Raymond as a.
Would you be happy with a bronze?
No.
No. So you don't. If they won no medal, you'd be.
No. Hey, it's. Go to the final, whatever it takes.
Got it.
If you're going to shut down and play the trap like Devils in the 90s, and do whatever it takes, Pierre, do it.
I get it, but that's no fun to watch.
No. Hey, it's going to be fun to watch these kids.
I agree with that. Yeah. I agree with that.
But anyway, it's going to be exciting. And, of course, if we look at the roster, Canada is definitely the favorites.
Yeah.
But behind there, it's open. So find a way and let's.
So you think silver or gold? That's your.
Yeah, silver or gold. It's the last show for Sam Hallam, the boss there, and his staff. So let's make it a great one. And that's a triple for Swedish hockey. Junior, under 20, under 18.
Hey, listen, you guys are running the world right now.
Great to.
This is so much fun.
Welcome back.
Talk to many.
Thank you for your time. Tack, Erik. God morgon, NHL. Vi tar en liten paus nu, för det är fullt fokus på hockey-VM som börjar på fredag. Ni ser alla matcher, Tre Kronor och övriga nationer på Viaplay och såklart också resten av Stanley Cup-slutspelet. Så häng med där, så säger vi stort tack för att ni var med oss idag.